We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Fan is your station. We want to hear from you. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
Where my dogs at? We right here, dog. Keith McPherson back on The Fan. Inside the 10 o'clock hour. I appreciate y'all listening, calling in, tweeting at me. It passes the time super fast. Like, we've already been doing this for 3 hours, only 2 hours left to go. Best job ever. Most fun you could have. If you're into sports like I'm into sports, call in 877-337-6666. Let's talk about something, anything. Back to the phones we go. Andrew, out in Portland, Oregon, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, man, thanks for taking my call, man. Really appreciate it. I'm glad to hear you on the radio. And I'm here out west, but I follow you guys, you know.
Is this Andrew from Twitter, from Yankees Twitter?
Yeah, man. Good, always good talking sports with you. Appreciate you taking my call, man. Good to hear you on the radio.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you.
The 10-year deals, I got, you know, the guy before the break there, the 10-year deals always are tough, but you pay him at the front, you know, you pay him at the front and at the back, hoping that you win a ring early on.
Yep.
Coney the other day said something, you know, that on towing the slab, that was a really good point, you know, that December 1st here, it's kind of getting close to being the night's over. It's, you know, the lockout's going to happen, obviously, and it's looking like, you know, the Yankees didn't sign anyone big. No big signings other than Joely Rodriguez, right?
Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone, right? Re-signing him for the 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it done early.
No, it was not a whole lot of action early, but obviously, you know, like I said, Coney made a good point the other day on his show. He touched on, you know, the Yankees didn't make a big move in the free agent signing before the lockout, but they seem to be primed for trades, right? That's what everyone's hoping for, obviously. Everyone,
fingers crossed.
Throughout Oakland, right? Yeah, Oakland with Matt Olson and you know, maybe Brian Reynolds, maybe sneaking in a National League outfielder, you know. The reason the Yankees they're a team that tries to be very smart, right? Michael Kay, since they try to be the smartest girl in the room playing the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yankees have the payroll. They should have the pockets to buy anyone they want. But what they have that other teams don't is a farm system that this last year was really good, right? You kept seeing updates that all levels, you know, from single A to triple A.
Top prospects. Producing. We got about four or five top guys that everybody knows.
You know, and I hate to put it this way because, you know, I don't want to diminish the men playing the game, but the currency of prospects is huge and not as easy to see when it's the last week of November and you see you see the Texas Rangers signing all these big names. You see, you know, the Mariners, the Seattle team here out west, you know, signing Robbie Ray. I was really hurt too when the Robinson Cano deal didn't work out. You saw that coming though. Him coming to Seattle, he wasn't gonna.
Yep,
he wasn't gonna win anything.
It was another. It was in around the same time Jay-Z took the Nets to Brooklyn, and then he took Robinson Cano from the Yankees. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? Team, right?
So that's a, hey, it's funny you bring that up, the Jay-Z Roc Nation bit, because you're right. That was their first big client to sign a mega deal. So you knew he was going to take the biggest money no matter what, which is what the Mariners just now did with Robbie Ray. You got to respect the move. It locks up that rotation. But so you bring up Jay-Z with Robinson Cano. Carlos Correa, I believe, has a new agent that's signing him. And I think it might have been Jimmy and Jake were talking about it, that's their first big client. They named off a couple small-name players, no disrespect to those guys, but major league players that you kind of recognize by name, but not the big signing, right, of a 10-year deal, Carlos Correa. So you know the reason Correa is slow playing it, you know, they're trying to take the biggest money they can get. And the Yankees have that money. You know, Yankee fans are all up in arms. It's understandable. But they have that money, but they also have the players to complete sneaky trades, you know, a sneaky move. That, you know, so I kind of want to ask you real quick, do you think that, you know, the Yankees tendered all their players other than, you know, Chris Gittens, hard-hitting Gittens, is going to go play out east. The Yankees tendered Gary Sanchez, you know, half the fan base boos, the other half fan base cheers. Do you think that Gary Sanchez coming back, do you think that takes them out of maybe trying to sneak in a trade for another catcher?
No, because
Jacob Stallings is the hot name, the hot item that goes to Miami. Hey, Jeter out in Miami is building a pretty good team down there. They trade Joey Wendell, and they got a couple of good players. It's turning into a good little team out there in Miami.
Yeah, I watched some of the press conference today with Kim Ng and Alcantara. Mm-hmm. It was cool. Jeter, give Jeter a little more time, and he'll have it going down there.
Oh yeah, a lot of people in the industry were kind of upset when him and the financial group with them they buy the team, and Jeter kind of did a little cleaning house. A lot of people gave him a harsh time for it.
Well, yep, but over time, people forget.
Yep.
So the question was more about Gary. You said half the fan base cheers.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even say half the fan base cheers. I think half the fan base is upset. Like, oh, why we do that? And then the rest of the fan base just understands, like, why would you just let Gary Sanchez walk? I don't think that stops us from bringing in another catcher via trade. I don't think that stops us from signing other catchers, because in spring training you need four or five catchers anyway. And I referenced on this show that, like, we went into spring training last year with Robinson Chirinos. I expect a veteran type. I expect some young guy. Like, someone's got to push Gary, and it ain't going to be Higgy.
Yep.
Someone's got to push Gary. Yep. There has to be at least some kind of threat so he's not comfortable, because when he's not comfortable, that should bring the best out of him, like iron sharpens iron type of thing. And, like, you know, the best bring out the best in the best. So hopefully there's somebody else on the way. I can't speak to it, bro. I feel like we give the organization too much credit for what they might be doing behind the scenes or what they might be cooking up. And then when nothing happens, we're like, oh, well, that was all talk.
The letdown, No, it could either be a sneaky move if it works out and it's a big signing. You know, it's a huge letdown if nothing happens, right? And I believe the voice of the Yankees himself, Michael Kay, said, hey, on this show, I will crucify the Yankees if they just try to run it back with the same roster. But
me
I
too.
Believe as far as the infield goes, it wouldn't be that much of a surprise. That's why, you know, you see too many jokes and tongue-in-cheek posts about, hey, Andelton Simmons is coming to the Yankees on a one-year deal. It was not going to be too surprising if the Yankees go in and say, hey, we still believe in Glaber as a middle infielder, and maybe they roll Gio at short a little bit more here. That's the total, you know, that's not what it, no, but no, nobody wants that. They want a big time signing, you know, but
the Yankees will convince us that's the best move, that's okay, that's what we should accept, that, you know, we weren't in on those guys for whatever reason, and these guys are great players, and they're going to come here and do the job.
One player, you know, the big point as far as the catching position goes, and I appreciate the call. I'll take off here pretty quick. I appreciate it. You know, one player to keep an eye on that could be available via trade is a catcher out here out west for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Carson Kelly. You know, you look around the league, and Gary Sanchez can be very frustrating, but it's like, well, there's not too many options that you can necessarily move on to. The big names, you know, the big names are what, Real Muto. You know, you're not going to get him. You're probably not going to get Mike Zunino from Tampa Bay. So you start looking at the next tier. The next tier of catchers isn't that much of a huge upgrade over the tandem of Higashioka and Gary Sanchez.
Right.
Carson Kelly is a catcher out here in the Arizona Diamondbacks that has developed into a really, really good hitter last couple years. Not a big superstar, but you start looking at his slash lines from the last couple of seasons. He's actually from Oregon. My high school baseball team faced him a couple times. His nickname was the Manchild. He was a pitcher and a third baseman. Gets drafted by gets drafted by the Cardinals, I believe, and gets traded to Arizona. They turn him into a catcher. He's an athletic freak. He's big and strong, and they've turned him into a good, solid little catcher. You were talking about younger players at that position that can maybe push Gary. You know, a trade for like a Ketel Marte coupled in with Carson Kelly is a name to watch that maybe the Yankees could target as a position to catcher. Appreciate the call, Keith. Love hearing you on the radio.
Hey, appreciate you, Andrew. That's why I let you rock, bro. Thanks for the call. Andrew's very supportive on Twitter. A guy that just seems to be in my corner, so I just let him run for a while. Maybe this Carson name you've thrown out now, maybe that's a name. But I just think us Yankee fans across the world, we look at these things. We come up with these things. We dream up these trades and imagine these things happening for the Yankees, and it doesn't exactly happen. Andrew said, you know, the Yankees might pull a sneaky trade. Like, when was the last sneaky trade, or when was the last sneaky deal? Like, I don't know. Edwin Encarnacion at the deadline a couple years ago, and that wasn't really anything. He dropped off. Back to the phones we go. Steve in Manhattan, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up? First time, long time.
What's up, Steve? Thanks for calling.
Cool. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the two different baseballs MLB used last year. And looking back, it was sort of interesting thinking about the Field of Dream games and the 9/11 game with the Mets. And then second part of that is if they bring back juice balls next year, does Glaber have a shot at 40 home runs?
Thanks for the call, Steve. Man, this juice ball stuff, this dead end ball stuff, this two baseball stuff is kind of maddening. And I can't imagine how maddening it is for hitters and pitchers. But as soon as Major League Baseball bought Rawlings, I'm pretty sure that they bought Rawlings like 2 or 3 years ago. Someone, I'm sure, can fact check me, send me the link on Twitter. But as soon as they bought the company that manufactured the baseballs, the fix was in. It was probably in before that. But I'm like, this is a dead giveaway that they're doing something to the baseballs. Now, we all know 2019 was a juice ball year. From Gleyber Torres hitting 38 home runs to Pete Alonso, having his 50-plus home run season. Okay. So then they take those juice balls away. They deaden the balls. And like Steve just mentioned, the Field of Dreams game, all the home runs we saw fly out in Iowa in a manufactured field that nobody has ever played on. Okay, roll the juice balls out for that so that the world can see this great performance between the Yankees and the White Sox. That still pisses me off to think about because the Yankees should have won that game. But, you know, we had to do the Andrew Heaney thing in a big game like that. Either way, it's maddening to me that Major League Baseball is manipulating the baseballs, changing the baseballs on these pitchers and hitters that literally spend all day working on their craft. They know. They know how the ball feels coming off their hand. They know how the ball feels coming off their bat. And guys like Pete Alonso have spoken out on it. And then you got the whole spider tack thing mixed in with guys trying to get a grip on the ball. It's the game of shadows. It's just more and more crooked stuff in the game of shadows. Just have the ball be one way. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for the pitchers that are trying to make a living and trying to pitch the best that they can, and the hitters that are trying to hit the ball out of the park, and the ball, you know, dies on the warning track, and they're like, man, I thought I got all of that. And really, it's because MLB is manipulating the baseballs. It's not cool, but it is what it is. I don't like it. I hope that they just, if it's going to be juice balls, it's going to be juice balls. Chicks dig the long ball. We want to see homers. There's a home run derby. Then just leave it that way. Move the mound back then. Like, baseball does need to tweak the sport in a bunch of different ways, but they need to stop tweaking the sport as far as changing the baseballs back and forth, different balls. Like, why would you do that? The NFL football is one size. You know, Tom Brady might be involved in a deflate gate, but that's a different thing. The NBA basketball is one way, and when they change the basketball, the players talk about it, and they change it back, but for the most part, it's one ball. Back to the phones. Chris in Ocean County, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing? I just want to talk about, you said Freddie Freeman is not going to come to the Yankees and go back to the Braves, right?
Yeah, I don't believe he's going to be a Yankee. I believe he's going to be a lifetime Atlanta Brave.
Great. That sounds very good, but why didn't the Braves re-sign him?
They don't have to. So, like, you know, MLB free agency doesn't have a deadline. This lockout has served as, like, a faux deadline. It served as, you know, actually a cool thing for Major League Baseball to see. Maybe you should put a deadline on free agency so it doesn't drag out. They don't have to yet. They're still enjoying their World Series. They're still figuring out what they're going to do. They're waiting on Ronald Acuna Jr. to rehab. They're going to sign Freddie back, in my opinion. I think they'd be crazy.
Why wouldn't they have to do it now? I'm saying someone else could sign him, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're really worried about that. And we can never really know. You know, we're not in those conversations with his agent, with the team. We're not in his family. From what I have seen and what I suspect, you throw the Yankees into the conversation to raise the price up and to create a threat. But the Yankees weren't hot on Freddie Freeman when the season ended in October. This is something that came up in the last week when names were coming off the board and Yankee fans stirred the pot online by saying, go get me Freddie Freeman at first base then. Well, the only reason Yankee fans are saying that is because the Olsen deal didn't come through when Yankee fans thought it was going to come through. So they're like, we still need a first baseman. I would rather Yankee fans beat the drum for Anthony Rizzo than Freddie Freeman. It's just not realistic to me. Like, he just won a World Series with the Braves, the team that drafted him, where he's set up, where he's lived for years. Like, he probably wants to run it back with those guys, with Acuna Jr. I don't see why the Braves wouldn't sign him. They don't have to sign him before the lockout. I think they get it done before the season starts. Remember, they could have signed him last year, and they passed. And here we are. I don't think they're going to let him slip through the cracks twice.
Keith, there has to be something going on behind the scenes that the teams are waiting for after the lockout to do something. Because, look, the Astros didn't do anything. The Red Sox didn't do anything. Dodgers didn't do anything, right?
No, the Astros signed Verlander.
Right, besides Verlander, I'm saying no one, like...
The Dodgers, did they get the deal done with Chris Taylor today? I mean, they obviously let Scherzer walk and Seager walk, but they've got a ton of talent. I don't know. I don't feel like teams haven't done nothing. Like, yeah, some of the bigger teams with bigger wallets haven't made big splash moves, but there are teams that have made moves. There's plenty of teams that have gone out and filled holes and signed top free agents and lower level free agents and made trades.
Hey, why isn't Correa signed right now?
If I had to say why Carlos Correa is not signed right now, I think it's because for what he wants in his contract years and money wise, there's not a big market for him. There's not too many teams that can pony up and say, yeah, we'll give you 10 years. Yeah, we'll give you $340-350 million. There's just not.
And if no one's going to sign him for that, then you're going to be able to get him for cheaper, right? That's all what the demand is, right?
I think when you see the numbers that Corey Seager got, you expect more years, more money for Correa, and he's either going to get it or he's not, and then the market starts to go the other way, and then somebody pounces on him then. But somebody's going to sign him. He's too good of a player to not be signed. I think he might end up right back in Houston. Yeah, they gave him that first low ball number, but that is also a game in a game. Like, that's a game within a game. The Astros, they could pay him.
Just my thoughts.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Who else we got? We got some people talking about Yanks, Aaron Judge. Yeah, I said I wanted somebody to call and the topic be pay Aaron Judge. Xander in Long Island, what you got for me?
Yo, Keith, my man, what's up? I was hitting you on Twitter about Taylor Heinicke.
Oh, that's right. What's up, bro? Yeah. Glad you made it through.
Bro, I had to call after I heard some of that nonsense going on, talking about trade Aaron Judge.
No, we're way past that.
Yeah, I know, bro. It's the second day in a row, though, that someone's coming on calling about get rid of Aaron Judge, and I'm gonna need you to do me a favor and just shut down any of those calls.
I gotcha.
Yeah, bro. As a 23-year-old Yankee fan, I grew up with the Derek Jeter legacy. I got to see 2009, but you know, I was a little too young for that. So I just remember, like, my dogs were named DiMaggio, Jeter, Munson, and my family sort of raised us under this, you know, the golden era of the Yankees. And in my time, I've gotten none of that, you know? And it wasn't until 2016, 2017, when Aaron Judge hit up the scene, that I really reinvested my interest into that, because, you know, he plays like Jeter. He does all the right things. You said it before. He talks to the media. He handles himself well. He wins games.
Face of baseball. When he came up that year, we were like, this is the new face of baseball.
Yeah. I mean, and he played it out, too. Yeah, we say he got hurt or anything, but I'm of the camp that I think he should be captain. I think if you get a player like that, what are you trading for if not to have the face of the franchise, if not to have the best player? You know what I call Alex Verdugo? I call him not Mookie Betts. That's what I call Alex Verdugo, because it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean,
he's good, but he's not Mookie Betts.
Yeah. So every time I see him, I'll yell it at the games. You're not Mookie Betts. And that Boston fan who called earlier, he doesn't know how good he has it. I've just been running in circles through New York, just praying we get a ring somewhere, man.
Yeah, we're due. We're so due for a parade. We're so due for some of these young kids to get that experience of the October run and actually, like, having a World Series in New York, winning it and having a parade.
Yeah, Canyon, man, I went Heroes, to like, New York City, so I was waiting for it. I was hyping them up. I was taking my friends all the games. I got a tattoo saying, this is going to be it. We're going to do it.
Oh, man.
And here we are. So now I'm just praying, don't get rid of the only thing in the team that is hopeful and that we all love. Like, shut that down.
No. You trade Aaron Judge, you rip the heart out of this team. You rip the soul out of this team. We've already lost guys that they said were part of the core and the soul of this team. There's no way you trade Aaron Judge.
On top of that, it's like, I think the conversation should be, let's make him captain. I don't know. It's a hard argument.
You got to pay him. You got to pay him and lock him up and then make him captain.
Exactly. And he's the guy. You know, you had Jeter and Munson, and those two, they earned their way in. I don't know what else he got to do to earn his way in. But every year he's keeping us there. He's getting us in that playoff fight.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the call, bro. I'll talk to you on the tweets. Aaron Judge is a guy that when he came on the scene in 2017, we'd be at the stadium and they would announce him coming up and it would just be all rise. And people literally got out of their seats to watch this guy hit. That all rise, here comes the Judge thing. Yeah, it was an actual thing because you got up out of your seat because this guy hit over 50 bombs and there was a chance that he might hit one your way. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial, they say. This is WFAN. This is Keith McPherson. We'll be right back. Keith McPherson right here on The Fan talking to you, getting you through whatever you're doing tonight. Whether you're working, whether you're chilling, whether you're streaming on the Odyssey app, whether you're in the car, I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. This is my slot, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to midnight. Blessed to be here. Thankful to be here. Let's go back to the phones. Ryan in Rockland County, New York. You're on The Fan. Ryan, are you there? I don't think Ryan is there anymore. Womp, womp, womp. Next up, Mike in Floral Park, New York, wants to talk Max Scherzer. Oh, we going Mets.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Good. Well, this is probably, the number one sports talk show on radio, so I'm hoping Steve Cohen's listening.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are, right? Are you number one?
From what I've known and what I've been told, this is number one. This is market one, sports talk radio, and this is streaming across the world. So, yes, let's go with that.
Okay, awesome. So let's hope Cohen's listening, because if you've been paying attention to the Rangers, you
can't. Yeah, 4-1 win. We were just, Connor and I were just watching the end of that. Beat the Flyers 4-1. Look good.
Yeah, and a great coach.
Oh, you're talking about the Texas Rangers.
No, Texas Rangers.
Okay, you're talking about the same Rangers as I am. We're good.
Yeah, Gerard Gallant, the coach. And, you know, the only reason the Rangers are that good is because of that guy. Now, the Mets, they went out and got Scherzer. This guy is a greasy, dirty, great pitcher. And he deserves a greasy, dirty manager. So if the Mets go get Johnny Simpleton, they're going to have the same results. Go out and get Wally Backman, Mike Socha, Bruce Bochy. Just go out and get a good manager.
No,
these
Buck?
Guys deserve it.
Brad Ausmus? There's a few names floating around.
Yeah, I don't want him.
Who's the one guy, though? Who's the one guy you think would be the right guy to lead this star-studded Mets team? This Mets team that they're talking about World Series in the next 2-3 years or something.
It better be the next year or two. it's Wally Backman.
Okay. Why?
Yeah. Well, he's been the manager of the year a few times, you know, in the minor leagues. He's led the Ducks to a title. He's a great manager. He's not just a great player. He was a player on the Mets in 86. You probably weren't even born in 86.
No.
And,
do you think that this is too big of a team or too big of a job for him, or you think he's the right guy for sure?
No, he is the right guy. He's just a baseball guy. He's a guy that's not politically correct. He's a guy that'll put tens of thousands of Mets fans back in the stands again. I mean, if you're over 50, you're coming back to the Mets. If you're over 50, you haven't watched the Mets in 10 years. That's how bad they are. So, you know, if Cohen wants to get some bang for his buck with Scherzer, who, you know, at 37 years old, you know, 3 years is a good contract for this guy, but you got to win now.
Yeah, and you got to get the most out of him when it matters the most.
So if you're not going to get Backman because, you know, people are going to laugh, oh, how can you get Wally Backman? He's an 86 Met retread. That's bull crap. Then go get Mike Socher. Or go get Bruce Bochy. Don't give me, Buck Showalter. That guy can't win. Brad Ausmus, he can't win.
Yeah, I'm interested to see who do they pick to lead this Mets team. Luis Rojas is over with us Yankee fans. He's going to be new Phil Nevin. But who is the guy? Who's the guy that's going to be on the mic after the Mets lose a couple games? To talk to the press and the fans and tell the fans, hey, we're all right. Wally?
And yeah, you know, have you ever listened to Wally talk? This guy is unbelievable. And I'll tell you who you bring back as his bench coach. You bring back Mookie Wilson. And it's not because he's an 86 Met. It's because he is the face of the Mets. This guy, he's like the Rod Gilbert of the Rangers. He's only 60 years old. And if you put him on the bench with Wally, you know, it's just going to be like Torian Zimmer, you know, and you bring Wally in, this guy can, he's a great manager. Forget about, you know, he's Wally Backman. Go look at his record. You look it up.
Yeah, I will. I'm actually going to Google him right after this.
Please do. And go into like his Peanuts YouTube stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You will be howling your butt off with this guy. And the players love him. Sandy Alderson hates him. But you know what? Sandy should be gone. He should be out of here. Who cares about Sandy Alderson? You know, bring in a great manager.
Yeah, they got to. Thanks for the call, Mike. Mets fans, call in. 877-337-6666. Was Mike on the right track with all that? Mets fans, let me know. I'm on the Yankee side. I'm learning more about the Mets world, and I want to know what you think about who should lead your team. I want to know what you think about Sandy. Billy Epler, Stevie. It can't be all Yankees, but for now it is. Nick in New Jersey wants to talk Yankees offseason on the Fan. What's up, dude?
Hey, Keith. Big fan of the show. You've been awesome so far.
Thank you.
I guess just in general, I'm at a loss of words. I'm pretty stumped. I don't really know what our plan is here.
Me either. I thought I did. I thought I knew the plan going into this offseason. I can't tell you, and every year I get older, I think I know more about baseball and the business of baseball and the Yankees and how the Yankees are operating in this new age world. I don't know anything.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Theer was the perfect fit, but then seeing that contract, I'll be honest, I'm not surprised we didn't budge on that.
Yeah, nope.
But I just thought if we weren't going to pay for the shortstop, I would have understood it. But you got to follow up some other moves. Like, I didn't love Robbie Ray. But that contract he got, I thought only 23 a year for only 5 years. I thought that was a steal. And at least tell the fans, okay, we thought the shortstop market was a little crazy. We'll spend our money elsewhere and get a stopgap in that position. I just think doing nothing was really just a bad look, and I really don't know what our plan is. Hopefully it's a trade for Olsen, but I wouldn't count on this front office, you know, pulling the trigger.
Doing nothing early, because it is freshly December 1st, doing nothing early seems like a bad look, but it's not that bad of a look. It seems bad because we share literally the same area with Mets fans who went out and made four major signings and are kings of the world. So you're looking at your neighbor and what they did and what they have, and you're like, damn, we used to do the same thing. Like, why don't we do something like that? But honestly, there's still a lot of time, and with the uncertainty with this new CBA and how long that's going to take, and we don't know what's about to happen, the Yankees can still, I guess, redeem themselves in the eyes of the fans that feel like they haven't done enough. There's still time to make some moves, and they literally have to make moves. They cannot run it back with this same team. There are literal holes in this lineup. They can't. So I don't know what the plan is, and I'm kind of taking this like approach of lower your expectations, hope for the best. If you're not expecting too much, whatever happens, you're going to be excited about.
It's a good point. Look at it like that. I just think it's not even just the mess. I just think how ugly our season was and how they gave us the excuse last time. You know, it was a fluky 2020. We're going to run it back. This team isn't that bad. And then look what happened in 2021. So you really can't use that excuse again. And as each day goes by, the talks are so quiet, I just get more and more scared we're going to use that same excuse.
Yeah, because they're good at it, and they love to use that excuse. Thanks for the call, Nick. They love to tell you, oh, it's all right, we're going to roll Clint Frazier out there and left, and Miguel Andujar, and then we'll have a bunch of random guys play the outfield for the Yankees. It's okay. We're going to have the whole Rail Riders up here, and we'll figure it out, and we'll win games, and we'll turn the corner, and we got a lot of capabilities, and, you know, our guys they're going to start mashing, and, you know, they love to sell you that. They love to sell you that. Ryan in Rockland County, New York, you're on The Fan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I got a Met point and a Yankee point. Met point is, I'm a suffering guy. Suffering New York. How about Walt Weiss? Pull him in. Mets manager.
Mm.
Great pedigree. Colorado Rockies. Yeah. MVP back with McGuire, Canseco. Just won the World Series. Great business mind. Great coach. Mets manager.
Is that a name? I don't know if that's a name I've heard floated around too much, but Walt Weiss is a solid manager. Solid baseball guy.
Right?
Yeah.
So the other thought, Judge, 6 years in the league, right? Or approaching six. 2016, he's got 158 home runs. Great, great player. We all know that. But the kid gloves are still on. Those kid gloves have to come off at some point in time. I mean, fingernail, toenail, whatever it is, he's out for 20 days, 20 games. And then he comes back and busts it. But his numbers are light on bad teams. So is he going to be a player in the outfield? He's not the greatest. He doesn't catch well. But if you really think about it, is he going to be a DH in 4 years? Do they lock him up for 10 and then lose quarter billion? Or let him go in two, see if he can play the field a little better? What are your thoughts?
I don't think he gets a 10-year deal. I don't think he gets a 9-year, 8-year deal. I think Judge gets like a 6-year deal. DJ just got a 6-year, $90 million deal. He'll command more than that. I also feel like Judge, his past injuries are now a thing of the past, and they were flukes. You know, a hit by pitch, an oblique, diving for a ball, and he cracks a rib. Like, those are all crazy fluke things, some just from playing hard, some just from having bad luck. When you say take the kid gloves off with him, I think once they pay him and once they potentially make him captain, there are no kid gloves. You're the guy. You got to lead. And he stepped into that role very well last year. He won us some games last year. The game that we clinched off of his single. And there was plenty of other opportunities for him to step up this season, and he did. I love what Judge did this season. I think he deserves the contract. He deserves to be a Yankee. He's been great. You know, he says all the right things. He's a model citizen. We haven't heard anything about him off the field. He's been everything you want from a guy that you decide to build his own section of the stadium and, you know, have him on the cover of video games and have him be the face of your franchise and not just a franchise, like the face of the league. Aaron Judge has done that for us. And I don't know. I hope we pay him before we pay some of these other guys. I don't think we're going to overpay him. We've already gotten his services for the low through arbitration. And I don't know. I love Judge. I'm a big Judge guy. Judge is one of those guys I almost never hate on because he's a freak. He's just different, man. You know, you mentioned his defense, his arm. He might not be
gone.
Yeah, he's got a ridiculous arm. He might not be the best guy as far as tracking down fly balls or making every play, but he's gonna dive for them, and he's gonna cover some ground with those strides. He's gonna throw guys out. He's gonna hold runners with his arm. Judge is a beast in right field and at the plate. You know, there's nothing that we have to say about Judge. He can hit one out at any time, and his approach has gotten better. You know, he's not always looking to hit it out. He'll hit a single and get going. He'll have a couple singles, a double, and get going. I don't know. I love Judge, and I love where we're at with Judge. I hope we get a deal for him done. That, to me, is a win in this offseason. Lock up Judge for the next 6 years. I don't know. Six is the number I'm on. It might be seven. Eight at the most, but I doubt it.
Do you think we'll hit that contract before preseason?
I don't know. I can't call it. Like I said, I used to think I knew what was going on with the Yankees. I read like Brian Hoke's articles. I watch Hot Stove, watch Jack Curry, Bob Lorenz, you know, watch Michael Kay and these guys talk about the Yankees. And I'm thinking I'm right there and knowing what's going on in the Yankee universe. Right now, this is one of the most clueless winters, off seasons I feel like I've had. I don't know what we're about to do or not do. So I'm not expecting anything. I'm just sitting back saying, you know, I don't want to get my feelings hurt. I don't want to get my hopes up. Whatever happens, happens. I guess in cash we trust. They're going to do what they got to do. Because in my mind, I really don't think you re-up Aaron Boone for another 3 to 4 years and then you roll out the same team for him to manage. And no, you got to get him some different players, and you got to get him some playmakers, some ballers, some difference makers. That it don't matter who's managing the team. They're going to go out there and they're going to play.
I agree with that. Last question. Lockout. How long you think?
I think it's going to be a couple months. I think it's going to bleed into spring training because they need it to, right? They need it to bleed into spring training because once it starts to affect guys' workouts, their ramp-ups, the pitchers. We saw this in 2020, right? With the 60-game season, and it started to get a little bit late. It started to get late early, and it's like, yo, these guys were in spring training. They had a month of spring training, and then they had to shut it down from COVID, and it was like, okay, how long is it going to take to figure out when these guys are getting back on the field? How long is the season going to be? What are the rules? I think we saw, like, MLS return to play before Major League Baseball and figure it out. Completely different business, completely different type of league, but these guys don't play right. They don't play fair. They don't like each other. You know, when you get these little tweets about these guys meeting for 7 minutes and then leaving, it's just nasty. I don't know what Tony Clark is on. I don't know what Rob Manfred is on. But the owners and the players got to come together and figure this out. Baseball cannot afford a work stoppage that bleeds into spring training. I want to go to spring training this year. Like, they can't let it go past, like, February. This has to be resolved by mid-February.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I love your yogiism. Your feedback's excellent. Keep it rocking on, my man.
Appreciate you, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Okay, Chris in Tin Falls. Might be my guy, Chris. Somebody I know from around those parts. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Congratulations on the new gig, buddy. Very happy for you. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Chris. Have we ever met in Monmouth County? Have we ever crossed paths?
Not that I'm aware of, but I am a Monmouth County guy. I grew up in Manalapan and lived in Connecticut for about 8 years, and I've been back in Monmouth County, Tinton Falls, for the last 8. So,
sure thing.
Where are you about exactly?
I grew up in Ocean Township, which is like Asbury Park.
I know exactly.
Long Branch. Yeah, my mom went to Monmouth Regional, which is Tinton Falls.
I know exactly where it is, dude, and I know Ocean and Asbury well. I go to the Wegmans there all the time.
Oh yeah, anyway, OT Wegmans, out. Best liquor store around, and I always go in there and get a sub made.
Amen, dude. Amen. Hey, check it real quick. On a Yankees point, because I'm a big Yankees and Giants fan. Totally with you. Got to lock up Aaron Judge. I love Judge. I love the way he plays. And most, yeah, we know he strikes out. All sluggers do. But unlike a lot of the sluggers now, he still does try to use all parts of the field. And it nothing infuriates me more than watching a guy who doesn't use all the field. And he does do that. But the big thing I just wanted to mention, because right now I'm a Giants season ticket holder, been 47 years of age. Pardon. And what I don't want to see is, and maybe I'm in the minority here, I don't want them to trade for a quarterback. You know, I almost feel this nonsense that you have to know about a quarterback in year three. I disagree. I think you can still get the fifth-year option. And if he's really not that good, no one's going to pay him anyway, nor are you, right? Neither are the Giants going to give him big money. Figure it out. Use those really good two picks, 6 and 7, to either get a big-time pass rusher like an Aiden Hutchinson or try to bolster the line and build within. The big thing with the Giants, I want to dump Gettleman. I feel like he's a disaster.
Yeah.
I never wanted Jones, but I give him credit on that. His rookie year, he showed enough, for me anyway, that I still think you got to explore that. I don't know your thoughts. I've rambled, so I'll let you talk.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I said move on from Daniel Jones, but that's just because I feel like you got to move on from all of the David Gettleman stuff that you can move on from. But like you said, like, you know,
fair enough.
Who's going to pay for him, right? If Giants fans are looking at the guy and they're not sure about him, who else in the league is running to grab him? He's your guy now, and he can still improve, and maybe he'll improve with better protection, a better offensive line. You can't really make the weapons argument too much anymore, but you can make the argument that maybe he'll be better with a better, different offensive coordinator. So, I mean, I'm not a Giants fan. You can't really go off of what I say about Daniel Jones because I don't watch him every Sunday. I've watched him enough. But I don't think the Giants will quit on him. I just think that they got to explore options to trade and maybe bring another quarterback in or at least bring a guy in if it's not to replace Daniel Jones but to challenge him or even maybe mentor him in the, like, quarterback room.
That's fair. I mean, that is certainly fair. My thought truly is I've seen a lot of athleticism, which, let's be honest, that's what the quarterback play is now. And the guys they talk about all are great future Hall of Famers, but they're all getting long in the tooth. And even Russell Wilson, people say, well, he's only 33. Man, he's taking a beating too. And we've seen players drop off precipitously. And right now, even Russell Wilson doesn't look like the player this year that he did 2 years ago.
Right.
So that's my fear.
He had a chance to tie that game with a two-point conversion and throw a pick in the end zone. Thanks for the call, Chris. I mean, Russell Wilson is a good dream. You know, it's good to see these Photoshop pictures of Russell Wilson wearing a Giants uniform, but I don't know if that's the answer. This is Keith McPherson. You're listening to 101.9 FM WFAN in New York.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.